Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to begin reading it, chapter 2 and verse number 14. Let's stand, please. Now, you know, we're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and I'm going to preach some of this to you this morning, and then we'll teach over some of it and go farther tonight as we're teaching. But I felt like I needed to preach this. Now, we're going to back up and use some scriptures that I taught through Wednesday night and put it in part of this text, and then we're going to preach it this morning. So I hope you'll listen. I hope this will be a help to you and give you some idea of what we have in any local church. Not just this one, any local church, but what we have in this local church and where we need to be, where we are and where we need to be, where God wants us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And he goes on to describe that. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? And he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Brother Jonathan, would you pray for this? And we'll be seated here this morning.
Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in church this morning, God.
Yes.
I pray that you would be uplifted.
Yes.
I pray the Holy Ghost of God
would
move.
Yes. Please, Lord. Amen. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to preach to you with God's help this morning on the three types of people that you find in a local church. And we just read about these three types of people, and we're going to look at them. But you will find three types of people in just about any local church. Now, there may be very, very few exceptions. You may have a small local church where everybody in that church is saved. I highly doubt it, but you might have that. You may even have a church, and I doubt this even further, where everybody in that church is spiritual. I doubt that too. 999,000 out of every 10,000 or whatever. I mean, one church out of 10,000 might be the exception. But the rule is that anytime you look at a local church, and by the way, remember, 1 Corinthians is dealing with the local church. That's Pauline. That's doctrine for us. That's the local church. That's how you and I are to interact and to what we're to believe, how we're to conduct ourselves in the local church. When you go through there, you see he talks about three different types of people. And you will find those in every local church. And there's only one category you want to be in. Two of those categories, you don't want to be that kind of man. You don't want to be that kind of woman. But they're in the local church. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at these three different types of people found in the local church. Now, the first one you'll find in the local church, we talked about him Wednesday night. And that is what Paul calls the natural man. And the natural man is a lost man. He is not saved. Listen, just because you have your name on the church roll don't mean you got it on the roll up yonder. I believe we have a lot of lost people across our land sitting in a church and been sitting in a church every Sunday. Now listen, this ain't Lordship salvation. I'm not trying to retread you. I'm not trying to cause doubt in your heart. I don't believe in that foolish preaching. But I don't want to give you any assurance either when you don't need to have any. I don't want to make you a twofold child of hell because you come down the aisle one time hopping and skipping and smacking bubble gum and said some kind of prayer and didn't even mean it. Just because some Southern Baptist preacher said, hey man, we put you on the roll and we get the little boards out right here so we can show everybody how many people we got in Sunday school and showed up for preaching today. I know I started out in the Southern Baptist. I know all about it. I've had them boards up there. They run you through there like cattle, but nobody really talks to you and deals exclusively and personally with your soul. That's wrong. That's a man trying to get numbers and he's not worried about your soul. I know that. I'm a licensed and ordained Southern Baptist preacher. How about that?
Yeah.
I can talk about them if I want to.
Amen.
But we have people in our church that are lost. You don't fool me. I've done this long enough. He said, why are they lost? They've never come to the point where they drop everything but Christ. They've never come to the point where they said, not my righteousness, not my good works, not my baptism, not my church attendance, not my giving, not my good living. Nothing can save me but the merits of Jesus Christ. What He did for me on the cross. And you never come to the point where you receive Christ and Him only. It's not Christ and this. It's not Christ and that. It's just Christ. Where you come to the point you realize I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm on my way to hell. There's no help, no hope for me. And I cannot save myself. I cannot do anything to stop it. The course of nature is taking me to the grave and then taking me to hell. God, I know that you died for me on the cross. I know you shed your precious blood for me on the cross. And you said if I will believe in you, if I will trust in you and stop trusting in my own works, in my own righteousness, and put down my unrighteousness and take on your righteousness, you said you'd save me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we got a church full of folks that ain't never done it. You trust in the Masonic Lodge. Or the Moose Lodge, or the Elk Lodge, or whatever lodge you're part of. You trust in the city water system. All they can do is give you enough chlorine to kill you. That's about it. You're trusting in your sacraments. Or who you pray to. Mary can't help you. She had to get to, she needed Christ. Pope can't help you. Nobody can help you. Well, I go to that preacher. That preacher can't help you. Any preacher that ever led you to the Lord, he's just telling you something that God told him out of this book. You got to get to, listen, you don't fool me. I'm preaching to somebody in here today that's on their way to hell. And you're going to go to hell sitting in a church pew. Because you've never dropped your righteousness and just took His.
That's right.
And you're not going. I don't care how much money you put in the plate, how many times you read your Bible, how much you pray. You're not going when you die.
Right.
Until you trust in Him and Him only.
Amen.
Everybody understand what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This is important, but it's the natural man. Now, notice what it says about this natural man in verse number 14. He does not receive the things of God. It says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He ain't going to receive them. Listen, he's not going to receive what you say about the Bible. He's not going to receive what you say about instruction, about truth. He's not going to receive God's teachers and God's preachers. But you know why? Because he's blinded. Now, let me tell you why he's blinded. Here's your verse for you. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know who the God of this world is? The devil. There's people sitting in here, you're blinded. You know what you got to get? You got to get the scales removed. You got it in the back of your mind somewhere that your baptism really is part of it. That your good works is part of it. That you're going to be okay. You got it in the back of your mind somewhere that it's Jesus plus this. Endure to the end. I've got to live it. I've got to do good works. You got it back there somewhere. And you don't even, you got blinders over your eyes. And some of you got blinders over your eyes. You say, I'm all right.
Come on.
I figure I'll be all right. I ain't that bad of a person. I never killed nobody. I ain't never stole. I don't dip, smoke, and chew and date girls that do. I'm a good person.
Yeah.
That Bible says there's none good. No, not one.
Amen.
Now, you measure yourself up to me or somebody else, you might be a pretty good fellow. You measure yourself up to Christ.
Yeah.
By the way, the Bible says we're not spiritual when we measure ourselves with one another.
Yeah.
I can always find somebody worse than me. Out of 9 or 10 billion people on this planet, or ever how many people there is, you don't think I can find at least one person worse than me, Sonny? I hope I can. But see, another man's not your measuring stick. Another man's not your measuring stick. I'm telling you this morning, the man ain't your measuring stick. You're measuring up against Christ Jesus. And if you don't have His righteousness and His standard, you're not going to heaven when you die. I don't care how good you've been. And you cannot see that as a lost person. You're blinded to it. You know, who is blinded to lost people? The God of this world, the devil. He's blinded you.
Amen.
It says the things of God are foolishness to them. Those are in verse number 14. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. The things of God are foolish. It's foolish that you would go be to church today and sit out on the lake. Well, you don't want to be on the lake today. It's cold. But it's foolish that you would be in church today instead of doing something, you know, positive with your time off, like sleeping or something. Most foolish thing in the world to a lost person is, why are you tithing, man? Save up that tithing money and go get you a new bass boat or something. Or a new purse. What's that place we went that time in that fancy purse place? What's that thing called? Do you know what it is? Don't act spiritual. What? A who? A Michael Kors. You want a Michael Kors purse. When I was a teenager and backslid, I didn't know nothing about Michael Kors, but I knew about Coors. Amen. Some of you laughing like you know about it right now. You know what you want to do? Oh, my. Anyway. They're foolish. It's all foolish to you. This preaching, this somebody getting up there and telling you to stay away from liquor and you to stay away from wild women and all that kind of stuff. That's foolish to you. What you think is, I ought to live it up. I ought to enjoy myself. Because you're lost. All you have is the spirit of man. You don't have the spirit of God. And none of this stuff, you know why none of this stuff makes any sense to you? It's not appealing to you. You're like, come on, wrap it up, wrap it up. I want to beat the Methodist to the cafeteria. You're not a bit interested. You just, man, come on, hurry up, hurry up. If I don't come, mama will get mad. My husband will get mad. I've got to put in my time, check off my box. This don't mean a thing to you. It's because you're lost. You don't have the Spirit of God within you, bearing witness to what I'm saying. It don't mean anything to you. He's got your eyes covered. He's got you blinded. You're going to hell. You're going to hell sitting right on a church pew. Or a chair in here. You're a natural man. You do not know the things of God. You cannot receive the things of God. They are foolish to you. You can't know them. You know why you can't know them? Because you don't have the Spirit of God. And you look back up there in verse number 11. He tells you why. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The Spirit of God. You know why you can't know the things of God? You know why the things of God don't make any sense to some people? Not everybody. I'm just saying some. Why the things of God are not appealing to you? Why you don't even care? Why you're not even looking that way? Because you cannot begin to understand the spiritual things. You cannot begin to grasp the spiritual things. You have to have Christ in you. The moment that you say, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell, and you reach out for Christ and believe on Him and Him only for salvation, the moment He saves you and seals you, the Spirit of God comes within you and He indwells you. And at that moment, the scales are taken away, and at least you have the possibility of becoming something for Christ. But not until then. Not until then. Not until you get saved. You'll never amount to nothing spiritually. And on top of that, wind up in hell. All right, number two, here's the next man. The spiritual man. Now, that's the man we want to be, ain't it? Now, notice what it says about the spiritual man. It says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. So the spiritual man has spiritual discernment. You know why we got so many Christians that are getting in all this false teaching and stuff? They don't have any spiritual discernment.
Right, brother.
You know why? Because they're not spiritual. They are not spiritual. If you're not spiritual, you cannot begin to understand anything about God. Do you understand? Nothing about God. You cannot understand anything about God unless you're spiritual.
Amen.
And that is why, even though you may have Christ within you, listen, He's in you positionally, but He's not living through you practically. When you get saved, everybody gets the mind of Christ positionally. But you may not have the mind of Christ practically, as you're not renewing your mind every day. He's not thinking for you. You're trying to think for yourself. Your flesh is doing the thinking instead of Christ doing the thinking. But if you're a spiritual Christian, I mean, you have Christ within you and you're putting the right things in your mind and you're seeking after the Lord and you're trying to grow and you care about God, you will have some spiritual discernment. That's why so many people, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, but there's so many people, I believe they're saved just like you and me. I believe they love the Lord just as much as you and me. But they don't have any spiritual discernment. That's why they wind up at a church. And listen, you do whatever you want to with this. I'm just saying that's why they wind up at a church that don't take a stand on the Bible. Yeah. They got the rock music and the flashing lights.
Yeah.
And they talk more about unity and peace and us all getting along and holding hands and singing Kumbaya than doing what that King James Bible says.
Amen.
You say, how do so many Christians get involved in churches and in movements like that? They don't have any discernment.
Right.
And the reason they don't have any spiritual discernment is they're not spiritual.
Amen.
They are what we'll be fixing to talk about here in a moment. The vast majority of what's in a Baptist church. We're going to talk about that third category here in a moment. But they're not spiritual. The Bible says in that passage that the Spirit will judge all things. That's another thing. See, all these people that get in these other kind of churches, I'm talking about these evangelical churches, they just got the gospel right and that's about it. What they'll tell you is, judge not lest you be judged. Can't even quote the verse right. Over there on the Sermon on the Mount, and don't even know what that means. I'm over here in Paul where he tells you the Spirit will judge all things. They ain't got enough sense to understand it. You better be able to judge some things. I can't judge your heart. I can't judge your motive. I can't judge why you do what you do. But bless God, I can certainly take a King James Bible and judge what you say and judge how you act. And you better be able to do it. And don't let this world tell you that that's wrong or you're being critical. You're insane if you don't judge.
That's right.
I think I told this other Wednesday night. Let me take two cans and wrap a piece of paper around both of them and set them before you. And one of them's a Coca-Cola and one of them's a can of bug spray. Just pick one up. Don't be prejudiced. Don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental or prejudiced. Don't be narrow-minded. Just pick one of them up. I mean, let's just take the thing to the end. I mean, if one of them's real refreshing. And oh, that just cools my throat after listening to Brother Dennis. One of them, you're dead, man. They kill you. You better judge. You better have some discernment. It's going to kill you physically and most of all spiritually if you don't. You know what's wrong with so many Christians in this county and in this nation? They think they're drinking a Pepsi Cola. They think they're drinking a Mountain Dew. And they're drinking bug spray. Because they ain't got enough cotton picking sense to look on the can.
Yeah.
They're not spiritual.
Right.
That's why they stop flocking these people like Benny Hinn and that bunch.
Come on, brother.
And Joel Osteen.
Yep.
Joyce Myers.
Yeah.
And all that other bunch. I don't care if you squirm in your seat or not, bless God, I'm right. You're crazy in your head for sending that bunch of money. You want to send your money into somebody, you want to send it into here. We'll do something right with it. We ain't going to be buying $1 million jets with it. You ain't going to be putting rings on my finger. I like, amen, if I had $10 million, I wouldn't buy a ring. And I like living on Bonnie Cord Road. I don't need to live in the country club. I don't even know where the country club is here. Put your money in an outfit that'll do something for God with it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. He has the mind of Christ, practically as well as positionally. Notice what it says here on this man, the spiritual man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, the spiritual man has some spiritual discernment. He's able to judge between what is right and what is wrong. You know what the indictment was against those Israelites over in the Old Testament? God said, he said, what your problem is, folks, is you're calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. Do you know, let's come, you know, 900 years now removed from that or whatever. We got the same problem in the local church, Brother Tim. We got people calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. Why? They're in the same shape the Israelites were in. They don't have any spiritual discernment. They're blinded. They don't know what's going on. Now that thing that says there, it says the spiritual man gets the mind of Christ. Not just the one you're given because you have the indwelling Christ living within you when you get saved, but it's because you put into practice, you're renewing your mind. If listen, and here's the good thing about that. The spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Listen now, don't lose this. If you've got the mind of Christ practically in the way you're living, your heart will always be right. After all, that's the most important, ain't it? If you've got the mind of Christ and you're thinking like Christ wants you to think and you're looking at things like Christ wants you to look at it, then your heart will be right. They'll go together. It's impossible to have the mind of Christ and to not have a heart for Christ. They're Siamese twins. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You understand what I'm saying? They go together. But now I want to look at one more man. And I don't think it's no coincidence that he spends the most verses on this man. I will say that this is the majority of the people in a Baptist church. Now, some of these other off-the-wall churches, I would not be surprised if some of these other off-the-wall churches that the majority of the people could be that first man I talked about. Because they're not even hearing the gospel in some of them churches. They don't even know what the gospel is in some of those churches. It's a social club. It's a social outreach. It's about social programs, not getting somebody saved from hell. But in the average Baptist church or the average pretty conservative evangelical church like we've got here, this man right here is the majority of the people you're going to find in your local church. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to encourage you and I'm trying to exhort you to want to change. And if the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. If I'm not talking to you in the next few moments, then take a nap. Punch your wife every once in a while and say, listen to that preacher, he's got your number. If I'm not talking to you, don't get mad. But listen, this ain't my first day on the job. I've been around the brethren. I pastored a few churches. I've been in it for a while. And I'm telling you, when it comes to carnal Christians, that's a man that's saved just as much as the spiritual man is. But he's not spiritual. He's fleshly. He's worldly. When it comes to carnal Christians, the majority of your congregation in any congregation, in any state, in any place, geographics and demographics ain't got nothing to do with it. It's just if you're in the body of Christ, the majority of the people you're going to be preaching to are carnal Christian.
Amen.
What's the marks of a carnal Christian? I'm glad you asked. First of all, look there in verse number one, chapter 3. Notice what Paul says. He said, I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as a spiritual. He said, I can't talk to you the same way I talk to a spiritual person because you can't understand it. First of all, he tells you why you can't understand it. He said, because you're a babe in Christ. Notice what he says. He says, but as unto carnal, even as in the babes in Christ. Listen, you can't go up to a baby. All you can do to a 6-month baby is go, goo goo, gaga, hey, smile for mommy, smile for daddy. You can't say, now, son, here are the 18 types of Antichrist. A baby's going to look at you like, spit up on you. That's what's wrong with some of you when I try to teach you doctrine. You spit up on me because you're a babe in Christ. We can't never get to any meat because you still suck on the milk. Now, I love milk. I still love milk, especially in the summer when I'm hot. This may sound gross to some of you. Help yourself. I like to get real hot and sweaty and go in the house and get me a glass full of ice and pour milk over it and drink it. It don't sour my stomach. I like it. It's wonderful. It's still good no matter how long you've been saved or how spiritual you are or you think you are to get milk every once in a while because milk is refreshing. But guess what? You need some meat every once in a while. You need some meat. And you can't get meat because you're a babe in Christ. Why are you a babe in Christ? You're carnal. You know what I've seen over the years I've been a preacher? I've seen 65 and 70-year-old people with pasties in their mouth. Figuratively speaking, of course. Now, how would you like it one Sunday if Brother Dennis just It got about 2 minutes of service, and you're looking around and say, where's Brother Dennis? He ain't in here. And Brother Dennis made his usual entrance through that side door there, except today, Brother Dennis has got nothing on but a diaper and a passy. There'll be women screaming and children crying and people passing out. And I come up and stood behind the pulpit and I just went, Everybody would be looking around like, somebody called 911, you know. That's a horrific image. Yet that's what I'm staring at every Sunday. You know why there's so much fussing and carrying on and divisions and splitting and splintering and not getting along and fussing and fighting? I know why. You want to know why? We got 50 and 60 and 70-year-old Christians. I want my way. I want my passing. Change my diaper. Feed me till I puke. And then feed me some more. I don't need anything, but I'm going to lay in this crib and scream and holler till you come in here and see about me. Because I like to manipulate you. Oh, it's getting so quiet in here, ain't it? Baby Christians. And I want you to notice something here when he begins to describe these carnal Christians, the things that he says that they do. First of all, notice what he doesn't mention. He does never, in that passage, listen to me now, you got to get a hold of this, just a few more minutes. He doesn't mention cussing. He doesn't mention smoking. He doesn't mention drinking. He doesn't mention dancing. What is the sign of a carnal church? What is the sign of a church that's spiritually immature? That's a bunch of babies. What did he say? Read it. What did he say in the passage?
Yeah.
Envy.
Right.
Strife.
Yep.
Division. Is that what he said? He didn't get on to nobody about fornicating. He didn't get on nobody about cussing and hollering and carrying on and fighting and partying and running to the bars. He said the problem in the local church is you're envious and your strife and your division. Out of all the people in the world that ought to be able to get along, God's people ought to be able to get along, and you can't. You can't. You can't. And you think a lost world wants any part of this? We are helping from inside the walls of the church to damn this community to hell when we can't get along. And if they can't come here and get something, man, for God's sake, man, what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. They're going to say, man, I can get that at home. I can get that at work. I can get that in my community. I don't need to go down to Holy Hills and get involved with a bunch of folks like that. Think about this stuff. You say, who are you talking to like this morning? Nobody in particular. Nobody in particular. I ain't read your mail. I don't know who's got a problem with this and who ain't.
Amen.
But I can tell you what's killing the cause of Christ. Do you know what's killing the cause of Christ? It ain't now that we got so much sodomy. I know you think it is. It ain't sodomy. It ain't the problems in the White House. It ain't the homos. It ain't the liquor crowd. It ain't the fornicators. It ain't the rapists. It ain't the murderers. It ain't the killers. It ain't the child molesters. They have always been here. The church is so cotton-picking worldly, it has no power in this world. No power in this world. Just a bunch of stinking baby Christians. That's what's wrong with this country. Not the White House. The church house. That's what's wrong. That's the problem. God help us not to be so selfish and so carnal and so full of pride and so selfish that we become a church just like everybody else. And I don't see that in this church right now. I see a great spirit in this church right now. Maybe everybody ain't on the same page, but I believe the overwhelming majority is there's a good spirit in this church. Everybody seems to be getting along. Everybody seems to be forgiving and loving toward one another. And that's what's gonna have somebody every once in a while pull in here. They may not even understand there is an issue about the King James. They may not be ever heard anything about dispensational teaching and taking a stand and winning souls. But they are just broken and shattered in their life. And they want to go somewhere where they'll be around some people that they see and make a difference. And maybe they see you on the job. Maybe they live by you. Maybe they see you in the community. And they say, that guy right there, that woman right there goes to Holy Hills Baptist Church. And there's something different about them. And I need what they got. And they'll show up here. They're not. If all they hear about, well, you know, down there in Holy Hills, they ain't too holy. Fussing and fighting and carrying on. They live like lost people, he said. Verse number 3. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you yet not carnal? Notice what he says. And walk. He says you walk as men. He says you're walking, you're living your life like a lost person. You look. Listen, sometimes somebody can be genuinely saved, just as saved as anybody, but you can't. Listen, there's so much world in the church and church in the world, you can't tell the difference no more. And they can be just as saved as anybody, but they look like they're lost. God help us when we live our lives like that. And then notice this. They're followers of men and not Christ. That's carnality. He said, I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. That's men. I don't know what I've got done here, if anything. I don't know. Sometimes I go home and I reevaluate what I'm doing and what I'm preaching. Now, honestly, I feel like a complete failure. I try and I pray, but I struggle. And I really just want to help you. I really desire to please God most of all and help you. And I don't know what kind of good job I'm doing or not. But there's one thing I hope you will always detect in my preaching and teaching. I'm trying to get you to fall in love with a man that's not in this world. I'm trying to direct you into a man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm trying to get you to be conformed into His image. I'm trying to get your eyes off all these Christian celebrities and get your eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get you to come and show up for church where you say, I don't care if Brother Dennis shows up or not. Give me Christ. Give me Christ. Give me Christ. Give Jesus, if you'll show up today, you'll help us. I want you to leave here this morning impressed with Him. Amen. You come here to look at something in me, but boy, if you're a lint picker, you'll find it. Literal lint, too. That's all over. You need to be impressed with Him. You know what the sign of a carnal church is? The sign of a carnal church is a church full of people impressed with folks. And the preachers and the teachers and whatever. And your big fundamental buddies or whatever. Pastor worship. They're not impressed with Him. Well, Brother Dennis, he ain't too nice. And he got his tie going that way and his hair going that way. And that's right. Maybe you get so disinterested in me, you look at him. In conclusions. Well, let's just have one conclusion. In conclusion, if you're a natural man here this morning, it's very simple what your problem is. You just need to get saved. If you are a spiritual man here this morning, or a lady, and when I say man, I mean mankind, of course. If you're a spiritual man here this morning, just keep going, keep doing what you're doing, but just beware of pride and self-righteousness. The worst thing you can do is if you're a good man, get to thinking you're a good man. Then you won't be. If you're a carnal Christian here this morning, it's because you're a babe in Christ. And you could possibly be a 50 or a 60 or a 70 or 80-year-old baby. I'm not trying to be ugly, but as I conclude, listen to me this morning. You, if you're that, You are a terrible testimony to this community and to your family. You may be following men instead of the man. You are just controlled by the desires and pride of your flesh. And we'll get into this maybe some tonight, but a few verses below this, I want you to understand that Paul is speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. And he speaks of folks in that passage having their works burn up. He says it's wood, hay, and stubble. It will not survive the fire at the judgment seat.
Yeah. Amen.
It won't. God help you this morning. If you need to come to this altar, or just drop right down where you're at and ask God to forgive you for being such a fleshly, selfish, sorry Christian. Ask God to help you be a spiritual Christian. That's the three types of church members. Which one are you? You only want to be one. Every head bowed, eye closed.